Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by our associate pastor, Becca Bruner.
Well, today is officially one of my very favorite days of the year, and not just because it's kind of fun at 11 o'clock to see who wanders in the doors thinking it's actually 10. Just watch, it'll happen. Today, Daylight Savings Day, is the day we spring ahead, and though we lose an hour of sleep, and for those of us who made it to 7:30 service this morning, I think we get extra special God points. We lose an hour of sleep, but we gain so much more. We gain that extra hour of sunlight at the end of the day. Daylight savings time, you may know this, it started officially in Germany, May 1st, 1916, and the idea was that it would save energy during World War I. That's when it officially started, but that's not the real reason why. Not originally, anyway. It started a few years earlier, 1907. An Englishman named William Willett published a pamphlet called The Waste of Daylight. And it was inspired as he was up very early one morning and he had this epiphany. And he writes, "The sun shines upon the land several hours each day while we are asleep, and yet there remains only a brief spell of declining daylight in which to spend the short period of leisure at our disposal." See, we're told daylight savings is all about saving energy and helping the farmers and whatever, but it's really not about that at all. It's not about conserving energy. It's about increasing enjoyment. My mother-in-law, she's a very devout, holy Christian woman, but I kind of agree with her on this. She says, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I think I might be a sun worshiper. I just think that's the next best alternative. And I'm kind of with her on that. There's something in this human soul, in each one of our souls, that just longs for light. There's something ingrained in the deepest parts of our being that just needs the light, that we are dampened, we're depressed, we are deteriorated if we are left in darkness. From childhood on, it's just kind of the reality. Most of us aren't real big fans of the dark. For kids, darkness, it's scary. Right, those of you who have ever been or currently are parents of young children, you know this. To get your children to go to sleep, certain things have to be a certain way. Things like closet doors, right? Those closet doors, they have to be all the way shut. No cracks left open, because every child knows there are monsters in those closets. And if there is a crack left open, those monsters, they can get out. But if it's closed, they're in. Done. So the door has to be closed. Second, no limbs hanging over, dangling over the edge of the bed. That cannot happen. Truly, I used to imagine, and this was very real in my head, I used to imagine there were snakes living under my bed. I don't know how they got there, but they lived there. But they only would ever come out if I stepped too close to the edge of the bed. If I let my foot get down there, then they could get me. So every time I was getting in and out of bed, it was like a full body leap. I stayed safe. Third, and most importantly for children, the nightlight, right? Or the flashlight, or like the entire room fully lit. Some sort of light has to be on at all times, because kids know what you can't see in the dark, it can get you. It will get you. In kid world, it's just a known fact. If it's completely dark, you're probably going to die. Darkness, it's scary. It's also disorienting, you know? In the dark, we can't see where we're going. We can't see what's before, beside, or behind us. Another true, somewhat embarrassing story about myself as a kid. I was spending the night at a friend's house, and an important detail you need to know about the story is I had this kind of weird lactose intolerance, especially at night. And this particular night, we were slumber partying, and we ate ice cream, and that was all kinds of fun, and then we went to bed, and the whole house was dark. I woke up with a bit of an upset stomach, and I knew I needed to get to the bathroom. And so I jumped out of bed, ran down the hall. It was dark. I turned to where I thought the bathroom door was, turned and kept running and ran smack into the wall, where then I got sick on the floor. I'm not sure if I got invited back for another slumber party there, but it was dark. I couldn't see where I was going. Darkness is disorienting. It's scary, it's disorienting, and really it's just much fun. It's dull. There's nothing to see, nothing to look at, nothing to do in it. You know, if you ever go camping, the sun goes down, the fire burns out, nothing left to do but go to bed. Darkness, it's dull. It can even be depressing. You know, people who live in areas of the world that don't get much sunlight during the winter, they get a real condition that's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Darkness is depressing. Darkness, physical darkness, it's scary, it's disorienting, it's dull and depressing, but we need to remember there's more than physical darkness in our world. When the Bible speaks of darkness, it's talking about life apart from God. Life apart from God's power and goodness, God's wisdom and direction, God's love and care. And this kind of darkness, well, it too can be pretty scary. A fair bit disorienting and a whole lot of depressing. And this darkness, the darkness that the Bible talks about, it's everywhere. It's out there, and it's in here. There's darkness out there. You know it's true. Every time you turn on the TV or bring up the internet, read anything on the news, you see the darkness out there. We read headlines about the thousands of men and women and children who are still fleeing violence, living in refugee camps all around their home country of Syria. We read stories about ISIS fighters who disguise themselves as doctors and open fire on a hospital in Kabul. We hear stories, we live stories of our own friends and family and neighbors, fellow Americans who are yelling past each other, screaming at each other about one political fight after the next. Man, all you gotta do is open a newspaper, you see people are suffering from one end of the globe to the next. There's darkness out there, but it's not just out there. There's darkness in here, too. This darkness, it's called sin. That stuff that sneaks inside our hearts when we're not looking. Greed, pride, fear, deceit. All kinds of dark stuff that causes us to hurt ourselves and one another. God sees the darkness. God sees the darkness out there, and he sees the darkness in here. And what does God do? Well, he doesn't send a warning. He doesn't send a rebuke. He doesn't send a punishment or an idea or even a religion. God sends a man. A man who embodies all that the human race was intended to be and all the love that God has for us. God sends a person. God sends his son. God sends Jesus, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We're going to look at two places where Jesus says this. First, just one singular verse, John 8:12. John tells us that, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we dwell in these I am statements of Jesus this Lenten season, I want you to notice something. I've studied these before, but this just kind of came to my attention this week, something really interesting. In almost all of these I am statements we have from Jesus, he pairs almost all of them, words, with an action. See, I think Jesus knows how human we are, how material, how tactile we all are. Jesus knows that when something's kind of left in the abstract, we don't really get it, not fully. We need to experience it. We need to be able to touch it, see it, know it for ourselves. And so Jesus so graciously meets us where we're at. So when he says, I am the living water, he does so in the context of a conversation with a woman who is literally drawing water from a well. When he says, I'm the bread of life, it's just moments after he has fed this crowd of 5,000 people, filled their bellies with bread and fish. When he says, I'm the resurrection and the life, he knows in just a short moment he is going to literally raise Lazarus from the dead. And so this time it's no different. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But to make sure we understand what he means, he goes on. John 9, verses 1 through 7, we're told that as Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. See, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And to just show that he really meant it, to make sure that we understood it, he healed this man who had been blind since birth, quite literally bringing him out of the dark into the light of day. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we dig into what this means, I want to highlight three things about it. I want us to look together at the claim that Jesus makes about himself, the comfort that he offers to anyone, to everyone, and the call that he places on those of us who would seek to follow him. The claim, the comfort, and the call. First, this claim. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Let's break that down a little bit. First of all, Jesus said, I am light. Well, what is light? We all know, we can kind of go back to our middle school science classes and remember, of course, light is super important. Light is the source of all life. Every living thing on this planet depends on light in order to live. So Jesus is saying he's the source of all life. He's also saying, I'm the source of all truth. You think about it, if I'm riding my bike down the road and there's a big pothole right in my path, it's going to be the rays of light reflecting off of it that will tell me how big it is, how deep it is, which way and how far I need to steer my bike away from it in order to not end up in it. Light gives us truth, the direction and the guidance that we need. And light is the source of all joy. Every time you see a beautiful sunset or a beautiful piece of art or just even the face of somebody that you love, you can give thanks for light, giving you the ability to see. Jesus says, I am light. I am the source of all life, all truth, and all joy. Not only that, Jesus says, I am the light. Not a light, as if he were one among many other lights. No, Jesus says, I am the light, the one and only light. You need to hear that this is a completely unique and totally radical claim. No other founder of any other world religion has ever said this about him or herself. None of them. None of them ever claimed to be the light. Every other founder or leader of all the world religions, they claim to have found a light. To found a light that is apart from themselves and to be pointing others to that light. They claim, if you want to think about it this way, they claim to be moons, right? The moon doesn't produce any light of its own. It simply reflects the light of another more luminous than it. So all other world religions out there, they say, I'm the moon, I'm reflecting light from this other source. But Jesus says, I'm the sun. I'm the sun. But lest we get too upset by the apparent exclusivity of Jesus' claim, we have to remember that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus' light isn't reserved for a select few. He didn't say, I am the light for all believers, but not those doubters. Jesus didn't say, I am the light for all Americans, but everybody else, not so sure about that. He didn't say, I'm the light for the Democrats, but not for the Republicans. I'm the light for the Presbyterians, but not the Baptists. I'm the light for the Cubs fans, but not the... Well, maybe he didn't actually say that one. I'm going to have to go back and check with my husband on that. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here? said, I am the light of the world. For everyone, in every time, and in every place, Jesus is the source of all life, all truth, and all joy, which, if you think about it, can be, should be, is a huge word of comfort for all of us, no matter who you are. No matter if you call yourself a Christian or not, Jesus says, I am the light of the world for everyone. And this is really, really good news. You see, if Jesus is the light of the world, that means he is going to dispel the darkness. Jesus is going to dispel the darkness in here. The prophet Isaiah talks about. He gives this picture of a people walking in darkness, people living in a land of the shadow of death. For some of us, that image hits pretty close to home. We feel like we are living in that land. Maybe because of a mistake we made that nobody knows about. Maybe because of a secret pain in our hearts that no one sees. Maybe because of an all too public pain that we caused somebody else. For us, our darkness surrounds us every day. For some of us, though, I think the darkness might not be so apparent. Some of us might need to do a little darkness discernment. So think with me, if darkness is the absence of light, light brings life and truth and joy, you might ask yourself, where am I lacking those things? Where are they absent? Think maybe, where in your heart are you lacking a life because of fear? You may not recognize the fear right away. Fear, it's tricky. It disguises itself in all kinds of ways. But greed, envy, well, those come from a fear of not measuring up, of not being enough. Pride and shame, two sides of the same coin, they come from a fear of not being enough. Overworking, overeating, overdrinking, they all stem from different fears, and all of these take life away from us. So, in your own heart, you think, where am I lacking life because of fear? There's darkness there. Or perhaps, where are you missing out on truth? You know, a lot of us just long for guidance and direction in our lives. As we look at the trajectory of our lives, we just kind of feel like we're in the dark and we wish somebody would tell us where to turn, what to do, what steps to take next. We feel paralyzed, unable to make a decision or do anything lest we make the wrong move. So if that's you, that question is, where am I missing out on truth? There's darkness there. Or where in your heart are you lacking joy? You know, maybe life is going okay, nothing really to complain about, but certainly nothing to rejoice about either. As you look on the landscape of your life, it looks kind of dull. Day in, day out, nothing to write home about. Where are you lacking joy? There's darkness there. There is darkness in here, but Jesus promises to dispel that darkness. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Think about that. Jesus says that when we follow him, we will never walk in darkness. Does that mean that all of life is going to just be sunshine and roses? Certainly not. But it does mean we will always have Jesus, the source of all life and truth and joy. And bit by bit, Jesus will cast out that fear. Moment by moment, he will guide us in our paths. And through every season of life, the good and the bad, Jesus will draw us into a deeper joy than anything we could have possibly manufactured for ourselves. No matter what you've done, no matter what darkness is in you, Jesus offers us this comfort. We can step into his light. That is the comfort, that is the promise we have in Jesus Christ, who says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's the comfort. But within that comfort, there is also a call. A call that Jesus places on anyone who would follow after him. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. See, Jesus' call is not simply that we would receive light, but that we would be light. Remember, the one who said, I am the light of the world, also said, you are the light of the world. Having experienced Christ's light, dispelling the darkness in here, we are called to move out and dispel the darkness out there. And if we want to do that, if we want to live into this call that Jesus has placed on our lives to follow him, to be light in the world, we're going to need to do three things. We're going to need to live attractively, live consistently, and live courageously. Live attractively. Remember one of those functions of light? It's there to be the source of beauty and goodness and joy. Does your life show that? Do the people around you see the joy of Jesus in your life? Do they see something attractive in you, something beautiful in you, something that they can't get anywhere else? You know, Christians, we ought to be the most joyful people on the planet. We ought to be the people throwing the best parties, having the most fun, fully and wholeheartedly enjoying the good things in this world, because we know it all comes from the gracious hand of our Heavenly Father, who gives us these things because he loves us. So live attractively. Let the joy of Christ's light shine forth in your life. Live consistently. Let the light of Christ shine out in truth. You know, many of us, we would call ourselves Christ followers, but we have parts of our life that we would rather keep in the dark. We're hiding things. We're hiding things from our bosses, our places of work. You know, there's things that we're doing in our work life that maybe aren't exactly above board, and so we just keep those things hidden in the dark. We hide our things from our spouses. There are things about us, things about who we are, things about things that we do that we know our spouse wouldn't like, and so we make sure that they don't know. We're hiding things even from ourselves. And this is a tricky one, but I think especially too here in this mainline culture, many of us are trying to live a life that we cannot sustain. Whether it's in how we spend our time or our money, or our energy, we are telling ourselves. We're telling ourselves that we can do it, that we can keep up, but our bank accounts, our relationships, even our bodies, they start telling us a different story. They are crying out that something has to change, that we need to live more fully in the truth if we are ever going to survive. I've heard a definition, you've probably heard this too, a definition of integrity is who you are when nobody is looking. But reality is a whole lot of people are looking. Everything that is hidden eventually becomes known. And if we are going to make any difference in this world, if we are going to shine out Jesus' light, we have to live consistently. And finally, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to live courageously. If we are going to take seriously our calling to dispel the darkness out there, well, then that means we're going to sometimes have to go into those dark places. That means Jesus is going to use us to bring life into situations into which there would only otherwise be death. I've told some of you this before, about how there's a sociologist named Rodney Stark, and he has argued that one of the primary reasons for the rapid spread of the Jesus movement early on was because of the way Jesus' followers responded to sick people. You see, it was during the middle of the second century that an epidemic broke out, killing somewhere between a quarter and a third of the population at the time. And then a little less than a century later, another epidemic came along, which at its height was reported that up to 5,000 people were dying daily in the city of Rome alone. So as you can imagine, panic broke out. Most people, they put as much distance as they could between them and anyone they perceived to be sick. They moved away. You know what the Christians did? They moved in. They lived courageously. Dionysius, a 3rd century bishop of Alexandria, wrote about it. He said, heedless of the danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. Can you imagine if those words applied to us? Heedless of the danger, they cared for the sick. They provided for the poor. They befriended the outcast. They loved their enemies. Heedless of the danger, they moved in. They attended to every need, ministering in the name of Christ. It seems to me that might go far in dispelling the darkness out there and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. May it be so. May the light of Christ continue to shine in us and shine through us, dispelling all the darkness. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come first and foremost, each and every one of us, asking that you would come and be not only the light of the world, but be the light of my world. Many of us have been attending church for a long time, but some of us, we know there is darkness in here, and we want to come before you in truth and ask that you would shine your light into our hearts. And to do that, we simply pray truthfully, saying, God, I know there is darkness in me. I want to be your child. I want you to be the light of my world. I want to give myself to you and receive your forgiveness, your healing, your love, and step into your light today. May that be the prayer of all our hearts each and every day. As darkness would seek to move in and lead us in ways that are living apart from you and your goodness and your grace, may we open our eyes and our hearts to receive your light that you so willingly give. And then, Lord Jesus, for all of us as individuals and together as a community, having received the gift of your light, may you shine out through us into your world. Take all that we are, take all that we have, to do your work in this world, to shine your light into places of real darkness, where people are hurting, where people are hopeless. Use us. Use our words, use our money, use our resources, use our energy, use all of our strength to shine your light in the darkness. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. Amen.